Hello, everyone. It looks all like I jacked it up. We're going to be doing the Discovery Worksheet Lab tonight, and you are getting the sporty version of me. It's been, I'm actually very clean, and I was, it's Sporty Spice Day here at the Crabtree House. I just decided that, I got outside for a little bit and just did some things and was like, you know what? I'm going to just go with this. So here's what I want to do tonight. This is called Discovery Worksheet Lab. This is how it works. You can ask questions about overeating. You can get coached if you would like. What I prefer is that if you're going to get coached, it's because you are actually doing discovery worksheets, that you have some information about them, that you're not just like, I don't know why. I have no clue why I'm overeating. Guys, you all have clues. The biggest thing is you're not asking questions. If you keep telling yourself you don't know, guess what? You don't listen for your bullshit. You don't listen for your excuses. You don't understand what's going on. I was actually talking to my friend Jane today. We are getting ready to redo the entire planner. We like to update it once a year. I think we're going into our second big rewrite. We had the first version that was like a test, and then we had our big rewrite last year, and now I am redoing it again. It'll be a lot of the familiar things, but I'm really taking it and thinking about like what is the questions that are most going to help you. Anyway, I talked to my friend Jane today about it and asking for her input, and she was talking about a podcast she listened to where the guy talks about with the overeats, asking yourself really important questions like, you know, what did I eat? How did I overeat? And why did I overeat? And I thought it was really good. So I'm going to play with it a little bit. And we kind of asked those questions in different ways. But I thought it was very succinct for all of you guys to be thinking about, like, you know, one, in our planner, we already know what we eat. The second part, we don't always answer. And I think it's really important when it comes to habit busting and stuff, which is, so how did I overeat? Like, how did I get here? And that is usually like I was standing in the pantry, or I overate because I, you know, was allowing myself to, like, I was biting off plates and doing things like that. So it's like really understanding that there is a how to how the overeating happens, or, you know, here's how I overate. I didn't set myself up for success. You know, I know that I typically overeat if I eat out of a bag. And this week I didn't portion my chips and I didn't portion the nuts and I didn't portion things ahead of time to set myself up for success. So I was eating out of the bag. And then the last part is the why. Like, so why? Why did I overeat? What did I tell myself? It tastes so good. I just want it. Those kinds of things. Also understanding, like, why did I want to overeat? If I wasn't going to overeat, what would I have to do? I'd have to sit there and be bored because I'm just like, I'm done with my work day. I'm done with taking care of the kids. It's time to relax. And if I'm going to try to relax without food, I'm likely to be bored, or I'm likely to think about work tomorrow, or I'm likely to think about what didn't go right today, or I'm likely to start thinking about what might happen in the future, that future casts terrible things. And so like understanding that part allows you to be like, okay, so the reason why I might be overeating is because if I wasn't, like, the why is more about what would be there without the food. And for most of you, you'll sit there and be like, well, I don't know. There's two ways to find out. Number one is don't have the food and listen and see, so that you at least start getting an understanding. Even if you eat 20 minutes later, at least give yourself some space to understand what it is you think, so that you'll know, like, okay, this must be why I overeat. The other thing is, the second way is to quit telling yourself, I don't know, and tell yourself, my best three guesses are, without eating, I would be thinking these things. I'm likely to think these things. Doesn't mean you have to be right. But the thing about it is, a lot of times you guys will say, I don't know. And I don't know really means I don't want to know. It doesn't mean I don't know. You have some kind of reason. And it's probably way simpler than you think it is. Most of you think it's like some deep, dark something. It's like, well, I just want it. That can't be enough. It's like, no, it's enough. Just have to ask yourself, but why did I want it? Without it, what would I be doing, thinking? Like, what would be going on for me? It's as simple as that. But so often we just overcomplicate it. Okay. Let's see here. Let's go with Cindy. You've got your hand raised. So remember, we're doing all things overeating tonight when it comes to what you're learning in your discovery worksheets and stuff and what you want coaching on around overeating. And guys, don't forget, if you're in the chat, Coach Betsy's over there answering questions. And make sure you turn on all panelists and attendees when you're chatting. Otherwise, no one will see but me. And I am not over there participating with y'all. That's Coach Betsy's job. Cindy, there you are. Hey.
Are you, Corinne?
I'm good. What do you need help on?
What's that?
What do you need help on?
Okay. I had an overeat on Saturday. I've been working on keeping my weekends on plan.
Okay.
Working on changing my feelings about it and stuff like that, you know, doing all the work, like you say. And I did a discovery worksheet, and I kind of want to run through it with you and see what you think.
Okay.
First off, Friday went amazingly well. Usually on Friday is when my binge will start. Okay.
What went well Friday for you?
What went well Friday is I was able to have the couple of beers and able to eat what I had on my plan and then just be done.
Why?
I had pop-up reminders that came up on my phone and said, Cindy, what's more important to you? Some more food or your goals? You know, one of your tricks, right?
Okay.
And so I've got that timer set up. It comes on every hour on my phone to remind me of my goals.
Okay. So, but why else were you successful this Friday?
Oops, sorry. Because I said that, you know what? I was important enough to do it.
So you had a thought change rather than being like, I hope the fuck I don't binge this Friday.
Right?
I really wanted to draw that out because a lot of you, first of all, when things go right, I think it's really important for all of you to give credit where credit's due. A lot of times it's like, well, I got lucky this time. Or like you'll tell yourself some bullshit about why it worked or it's because of my timers. Right. It's like, no. That's great tactics that we definitely want to do that help us. But the timer helps you get into a mindset. Like that timer going off becomes a circumstance.
Right.
That just happened. And you have to apply a thought to it like, thank God I set that up. Like I am worth it. And we have a thought shift rather than what normally happens on Fridays, which I don't know what your typical Fridays were, but like a good example is a lot of people go into the weekend hoping they don't screw up.
Right.
Like that's not a great thought. Gives you no direction.
But you know what? And that's what was the weekend before. I was setting myself up and I went to ask coaches and asked coaches said, how do you want to feel Monday morning? Mm-hmm. That's what you have to concentrate on. The feeling that you want to feel Monday. So all week I had been worrying about it. And so I've changed that all around too.
Good.
But then, okay, here comes Saturday.
Okay.
Right? And I'm doing real well on plan. And well, at least with my breakfast on plan. And then I had so much stuff to do. Not saying that's a bad thing, just saying that's a fact. I had a whole bunch of stuff to do.
All right. Let's be real clear. That's not a fact.
Okay, well, I had to take my dad to the bank. I had to go to the grocery store. I had to do a lot of things.
And that's still not a fact.
No?
Had to?
Well, okay, you're right. I didn't have to.
Yeah. But this is important just for you to listen to, like, your thoughts on Saturday where I have a lot of stuff to do. I've got all these things I have to do.
Right.
Already starting to talk about your day. Like, let me ask you this. Does that feel like, fuck yes, I'm going to conquer the day, like blah, blah. Or is it like, got all this shit to do. It's going to be a big day.
It feels like, oh my God, I just want to crawl back into bed is what it felt like.
Right. So that's why it's really important. Like, this is why a discovery worksheet is important, because it's making you think about your day. And then as you're telling me, like in your mind,
right,
I have to do these things and it's a lot of stuff are facts. But you could also say, these are the things I'm doing today because they're on the schedule. Mm-hmm. I put them there. I must want to get them done. Like, it's just a different way to like talk about it, which puts you in the control seat. Right. Notice how like a lot of times when we're eating, we feel out of control. We do the same thing with binging on things to do. Uh-huh. We feel very out of control. Like, I have to do these things.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay,
no,
go ahead.
Okay. So then it was like 12:30 and I was hungry, but I had to, and I did have to take my dad home because he needed to go home, get his medicine.
But I want to tell you, you didn't have to. It's a vernacular change. Like, you're trying to argue for the way that you describe your life and that sets you up for binging.
Okay.
And I'm arguing for the version of you that doesn't set herself up for binging.
Okay.
Which is like, it was time to take my dad home.
It was just time.
I mean, that's boring. But like, no, I had to take my dad home because he had these medicines he had to take.
Right. Okay. I took my dad home.
Good.
Right? Good.
Daddy deserves it. He deserves a car ride. He was a good man.
And he did deserve a car ride.
Right. I mean, like, there's another way we could describe it. My dad deserved a lush car ride for me, and he got one, damn it.
And we talked, and we had a good time.
I didn't have to do that. I loved doing it. It's more like it.
Right. Well, my husband stopped at the sausage store and picked up sausage sticks.
Even better.
Right.
I just like sausage, yes.
Homemade Polish sausage from
Where you live?
I live in Michigan. In a little Polish farming community. So yeah, you would have a drive. So then I hadn't had lunch. I was at a negative two. And so I thought, I'm going to eat those because I'm hungry. Okay. Even though they weren't on plan. But
where was your planned food?
My planned food was a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
And it wasn't an option, or like what was going on there? I'm not sure where you are in the middle.
Oh, we were on the road.
Okay, so you couldn't have your peanut butter and jelly because you were on the road.
Right.
Okay. No big deal.
So I had a couple of those, and then I got home and did some laundry and did some stuff around the house, and then ate. Got hungry again, negative two, and ate my peanut butter and jelly sandwich till I was a plus two. And that was about 2:30, 3 o'clock. It was then time to cook dinner for my husband, probably around 5:30, 6 o'clock. And as I was cooking, I was grab-assing grapes.
Okay.
Caught myself doing it and told myself, thought, I just don't care at this point.
Okay.
And
so that's your thought. I don't care.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I just didn't care. And it created apathy, and I did the thought model on it. You know, I know what it did, but I cooked a really delicious dinner and I ate dinner as well. Ate to a plus four.
Okay.
At dinner.
Okay.
And then not 15 minutes later, I'm diving into a bag of chips, and then I make homemade ice cream sandwiches out of bananas and peanut butter.
Okay.
And then I had two of those.
Okay. So tell me why all this is a problem. Oh, go ahead. What else?
Because I overate. I wasn't hungry. That's why it was a problem. It was.
But why is it a problem now?
Why is it a problem now?
Yeah. Like, what do you want help on?
I want help on being able to get through a weekend and without doing that.
Okay. So tell me what you're going to do this weekend that's different. Just based on what we've talked about, it's like you on Friday, just setting yourself up with like how I want to feel and stuff. What would you do different on Saturday?
I think I need to give myself a little bit of time. Some me time, because what happened, I've got a chronic pain condition. And it's chronic because it's been since 2010, but regardless, I can't use that as an excuse. But when my pain flares up, okay. I just, that's the attitude I get.
Okay. And so were you in pain on Saturday?
What's that?
Were you in pain on Saturday?
When I have a long day and I work like that.
Were you in pain when you were eating at night?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Do you think this is you eating because of the pain, or is this you thinking I've ate in the past before, like really on Saturday? Because it's funny, because when you described everything and you told me about all that happened and I don't care, not one time did you mention you were in pain.
It's true.
Then when we start looking for the cause, like what could we do? And you're like, well, I really need more me time.
Right.
Do you need me time to solve? Like, do you really think Saturday's solve is you didn't have me time? Or do you think it was a lot of mismanaged thinking around your time?
I think it was a lot of mismanaged thinking around my time. Yeah. It felt like that there, by the time I got to the end of the day, it felt like I didn't have any time for any self-care. That I just felt at that point just overwhelmed with the whole day. And I just gave in.
So this is really interesting, because a lot of people are like, well, you need to start planning self-care. Let me ask you this. How many times have you had self-care days and you still overate?
Hundreds.
Yeah. Self-care is not the answer to overeating. Now, right. I do want you guys taking care of yourself and stuff, but I don't want you guys thinking that the action of self-care is what cures overeating.
Right.
Because a lot of you, I'm going to tell you right now, you keep saying you want some alone time. The second you're alone with yourself, you don't like yourself very much. It's not fun. You start eating. You're like, you know what? I probably don't need any more alone time, because when I'm alone, I eat.
Yeah, I will agree with you, because alone time's not good for me either. That's just it. I need to change my thinking about this.
Yeah. Like the whole, like you had this beautiful car ride with your dad. Like let me ask you this. Cindy.
Sure.
Who put all the stuff on your schedule for Saturday?
That was me.
So that's me time.
Yeah. That was me. Yep. You're right.
If like, this is what I think that you have to be very aware of. And this is what sets you up for being depleted at the end of the day, is moving from the version of you that's like, no, I need self-care because look at me. I'm over here doing all the things. It's like, no, if you want self-care, have some self-care, but also realize that when you're doing all of the things, that is for you. Otherwise, right. You would say no.
It's true. Because I don't have a problem saying no if I don't want to.
No one has a problem saying no. Everybody tells themselves they do.
Right.
But people really don't. They say no all the time to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like really understanding everything that's on this list that I keep saying I have to do, or it's a requirement, or it's because of this, that, and the other. It's like, be really honest with yourself. I put this on the list because I convinced myself it should be on the list.
Right.
And if it really shouldn't be on the list and self-care should be there, then I've got to decide, am I going to woman up and say no to something and yes to this? Or am I going to call this me time? Because I'm the one putting things on my schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I said no to Logan earlier. I had no mental bandwidth.
That's tough.
Not really.
That's why I love you. Not really.
No. You know what the hardest part is?
What?
Judging myself.
Yes.
The saying of no. Not hard.
Mm-hmm.
It just rolls out the mouth. The only part that's hard is when you think you should be doing something else. Mm-hmm. When you think good people do these things.
Right.
That's
right.
What makes it hard. Sentences are the only thing that can make it hard. And they're your sentences. So like, the reason why I want to talk about this with you is because, like, as you described your day in the very beginning, I was kind of like, what? Remember, we don't have to do anything. Like, right. And it's all about how you think about stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, if you're going to do things, do it from being in that adult mindset. I put it on my schedule. It's ridiculous of me to drive my father around acting like a martyr. If I'm going to actually drive my father around, I might as well be proud of myself for making the decision. I might as well own the fact that I'm doing it of my own free will.
Right.
Rather than thinking that there's some kind of self-imposed something happening. You do that, guess what happens? At night, you have more energy for when you start looking around and you start seeing sausages and then you see peanut butter and jelly, then you see grapes and stuff. You start really understanding, I'm choosing. You practice choosing everywhere. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you tell yourself you don't care when you do.
Bing, light bulb just came on.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And that's what I need, because there was no place else I would rather have been on Saturday than with my dad.
Right. You didn't give any credit to yourself for it.
I didn't give any credit to myself for it. I said I had to do it.
Yeah. A lot of us do that. A lot of us are like spending time with our children. Like, well, you know, I got to go on this walk with Logan. Like, I don't really have to go on the walk with Logan.
Right.
I'm going to go on the walk with Logan because it means a lot to him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, there's 1,000 ways to think about stuff like that. Or I'm going to say no to Logan right now, mm-hmm. because I know that I'm not going to be present.
Right.
And I'm just real honest. And I would rather do that than to sit there and be miserable. That doesn't mean that there aren't times that I choose to go on like walks or do things with him, but like this time it's a no. This is just one of the times where this is a no. That doesn't mean that every time's a no. And it doesn't mean I'm a bad mother or he's a greedy son or whatever you want to like call it. Right.
Right. Right.
I think also one of the things that I would really suggest is, because this happens a lot with everyone, is like, okay, so we're going to set you up to start watching your thoughts and outside. So like the first thing is like before all the food stuff happens, watching like, what was I thinking and talking like all day long? Was I taking emotional energy away from myself, or was I given emotional energy to myself throughout my day? And that comes from looking at your day and just kind of, that's why these thought downloads are so important, because mm-hmm. you can like on a day when you overeat, don't just stick to the microcosm of the overeat. Like, think about your entire day, which is what I loved that you did, is you gave us the history of the day, which gave us what really set you up for at night when I'm like, eat the sausages, just track it as like an off plan eat. It's not a big, you were at your -2, you were in a car, sausages were there. I think that's fine. Those are not like overeating patterns I worry about with people. Mm-hmm. The overeating pattern I would worry about is if you're in the car thinking you got to drive your daddy around, sausages look real good, and it might be a while before I eat, and you're not even hungry yet.
Right.
That would be a pattern we want to be aware of. I think like when the grapes were happening, I think you noticed it, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So what did you say to yourself in that moment?
They tasted really good, and I just wanted them.
I just want them. Okay. So it's really important to clean your language up during that part. So you want to be really honest with yourself when you're having food, right? So it's like, you know, like, and I think in this is going to be for the second half, but I think in this case, it's like, okay, I just want it. It's like something I'm thinking right now. I also know that this is overeating.
Right.
I don't care if you're going to keep eating the grapes or not, but the conversation around it has to get more factual and has to get more truthful, and it has to get more, you have to raise the level of awareness. So if you're going to be grab-assing through dinner,
right,
and you're telling yourself, I just want it, and you're feeling tired, if you're not going to be able to stop eating in that moment, the next best thing that you can do for yourself is literally have a full conversation. It's like, okay, I do just want it. I also know this is clearly me grab ass eating right now. No judgment, but I just want to make sure that I'm very aware of what's happening.
Right.
Otherwise, your brain is sitting around justifying it. Like, I just want it. And then what it's doing underneath that thought, if you don't give it some direction, it's going, I just want it. And then you're eating, and then in the background, it's like, yeah, you know, you don't get no self-care. You had to do all that shit today. A long day.
My mind's a diva, isn't it?
Yeah, like it just sits there just like whispering this conversation because it's like, we're going to want an ice cream sandwich later. We better amp her up.
Yep. Right?
But if you start right then telling yourself, this is clearly overeating, I'm getting ready to have dinner, this is me having grapes. Like if you're just like, this is what's really happening, eat if you want to, but just eat with reality. Don't eat with this want to shit.
And that works because during the week, that is the conversation. I was a big come home and eat while I was cooking dinner. And I'm like, I can't do that anymore. And so then I'd have that whole conversation. I'd be like, you know what? No, Cindy, dinner's going to be ready in 15 minutes. We can wait for dinner. And then if I still want to have a piece of cheese after dinner, I can have one.
Yes.
And I'm going to wait to eat dinner. And I did that all week long. And I forgot when I got here.
Well, and I think you're just learning. So, I mean, what I love is that you're not in self-loathe land. I mean, I kind of picked at you to see if there was any hints of it. And you really must be doing some work because I didn't see a bunch of like,
this means I'm going down the deuter.
Sometimes, though,
I do like to play in a dirty diaper. I'm just saying.
We all do. Even I do. Let me just tell you, I was yelling at Chris on Saturday, and I had to get coached on it today by my coach, as I was telling her, like, let me just tell you, I need coaching on my period because every month I act like an asshole, and I need to clean up my thoughts around it because I can't keep doing this. I was like, I told her, I said, I am determined to solve this because I'm going to have a period for a long time, and I've got to quit using my period as an excuse to be a bitch one day.
Or you could just take your uterus out, and then you wouldn't have to worry about it.
Well, we talked about that, but since elective surgeries are down right now, I told her, I was like, I got to solve this until I can get that ablation. But the other thing that I wanted to tell you was there's another tip I want to give you. This is going to be in the self-sabotage month. So I think you'll be rolling straight into this work like a champ. Yeah. Is when you're eating the grapes, use this turnaround. Can I just have three more and be done until dinner rather than just want it. And then just kind of continuing the snacking on it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes what you need to do is just like cut off the wound of bleeding.
Yeah.
So if you catch yourself in an overeat, for some of you, it's too hard to stop it. Dead stop. Like, oh, I realize I'm overeating. Well, I don't want to be that person. So I'm just putting it all away. Sometimes this is what I do. I just say like, can I just have like three more and then let's call it quits for a while. And that usually gets me kind of like, yeah, I could do that. Gets me going in the right direction and then allows my habit brain that's just wanting it and it's tasting so good. It's got all its usual stuff going on.
Right.
It lets all that peter out and go away. And then I've got a hair on my face. Then my rational brain can check back in. So sometimes doing that. And then you had one other thought when you got to the next part of the food. What did you say? I don't give a fuck, but it was something along the lines of I don't give a fuck. I remember.
It was exactly that.
I just don't care.
Yeah. I just don't care anymore. I'm done.
I think this is one of those times where you need to have the equal airtime practice thought of, I just don't care is one way I'm feeling right now. Another way that I'm feeling right now is I might regret this. Mm. I could see me tomorrow not liking my choices. I just want to be real honest with myself right now that I might care tomorrow. Whether I give myself the green light to do whatever, but I'm going to tell the truth. The truth is, in this moment, I don't care, but tomorrow I probably will. And
right.
When
so
you do that,
the whole thing. Right.
Do what?
I just have to say the whole thing, not just
say, right. The whole thing. It's like tell yourself the entire truth, not just what your brain's used to thinking when it's tired, because that's where I don't care comes in.
Right.
It doesn't care in the moment. It doesn't give a shit. Your habit brain is like tired. Has been in pain, is sitting around,
Like and the duties
that you had to do chores.
Yep.
It's already got some food coming in. It's already been like, we're already feeling some relaxation now. We could like shut the shit down if we want to. Like you're having brains like, woohoo, party.
You know what? And we should have just put the toddler to bed.
Well, and it's like for sometimes like as you're working through the process of getting to where you're like, where you really can manage your urges like a boss, you have to give yourself the early wins first. And the earliest wins are, okay, I'm overeating, but my conversation is completely different around it now. I'm starting to change like all the things that I think in those moments. I'm starting to learn what other conversations I can be having. Mm-hmm. So when you make your plan for the weekend, like totally go all in on, I want to wake up on Monday morning feeling proud and this is how I would show up and blah, blah, blah. But also you need to go to, and it's very likely this weekend that I will think these things and I will want these things and these things might come up and here's how I want to talk to myself. Here are the excuses I typically generate. And here's what I want to say this weekend. Like get a real clear picture. Don't just paint the ideal.
Right.
Paint the ideal as like, this is what I want it to be. And this is what I'm working toward. And here's what it's likely to look like in the moments. And this is the part I've got to learn how to do to get to this weekend.
Right. Good. Yep. Yeah. Good. Got it.
Over and over and over again until it starts working.
Yeah.
And even today I grabbed a bag of chips and I was like sitting on the couch and I ate a few and I was like, did you just forget you don't have chips at all on your plan today? I was like, whoops. And I roll the bag up and I swear to God, if y'all could have seen a camera on my face, I was like, did you forget that you don't have chips on your plan?
That's funny.
But that's funny. Because I know myself so well and because I've practiced all this stuff so much, I now catch myself in the action of like, I obviously had a thought, I just want some chips.
Right.
And I didn't catch myself until I was having chips. And because I don't think it's the end of the world, it's a lot easier to stop. But that's because it's taken 500 chip bags of me saying, this is not a big deal. How do we want to think when we catch ourselves eating chips? You know, I plan them regularly and stuff. And then just sometimes I just end up eating something and like, okay, we could just stop right now. It's like, I don't have to go to fuck it land anymore.
Right. Because that's no fun.
No, it's never fun.
It's not. It's a long
beat down included with it.
Yep, and it's a long way down. It takes a long way to pull yourself back out. It's easier to pull yourself back out when you end it on a positive note, where you're like, you know what? It's okay, Cindy. You messed up, and we're learning. We're learning how to not do this anymore. Yep.
That grace and compassion. That's all it is. It's like
the self love course really helped me.
Well, good, because it's getting rewrite this year too.
Yep, that was amazing.
Yeah, I love the self-love course. You're going to love self-sabotage. It's really going to be a good deep dive. It'll help you clean up some of this other stuff.
Good.
All right, lady. All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Let's do some questions real fast. Let me put my glasses on. Shit, can't see shit. I find sometimes, especially on my heavy workout days, running 5 to 13 miles, I feel hungry all through the day. Any thoughts? You're probably hungry. That's my thought. If I run 13 miles or 10 miles, or God help us, if I'm running at all these days, I'm like leisure walking in the sun these days. I was talking to somebody today saying, oh my God, I forgot how much I just love long walks. Listen to my podcasts. Weather's finally broke here. You're probably actually hungry all day. Wait for hunger, like true physical hunger signals. That's what you want to really be waiting for. But if you're hungry on those days, you need to eat. But you need to eat really good food. Now, here's the thing I want you to watch out for. For all of you who do big workouts and stuff, it's easy to say like, yeah, I'm getting really hungry and this sounds really good. If you're training like that, if you're running 5 to 13 miles, then what you need to do is you need to have workout protocol foods for heavy workout days. Like, if you're going to be training like that, you deserve to be eating like someone who's training like that. What I watch people do is use heavy workout days. Be like, well, now I've noticed I'm extra hungry. And they're eating stuff they love that aren't going to help them lose weight. Like, you know, the I deserve it, or I'm running so much foods. Like, don't fill it. Don't fill your gut with a bunch of justification foods before you're running. So like, all right, on heavy workout days, I know that I'm more hungry. On those days, I get extra avocado in my salad. On those days, it's pumpkin seeds sprinkled in my oatmeal, whatever it is. Like, I want you to like have like, here's the approved foods. And what I would also do is on those days, make sure you're eating very solid meals. Make sure they've got protein and carbs and fat in them, especially for runners. January baby, I never paid attention to what I was doing during an overeat. So I've been practicing that. Still, I find I practically inhale foods. I'm binging. Most people do. It's like I blink and I find the whole package is gone. What strategies can I do to notice what I'm doing in the moment when it all feels so fast? Visualize yourself binging and visualize yourself slowing yourself down for one. But I will tell you the reason why most binge eaters will be inhaling their foods. It's because if you did slow down, you would have a very judgmental conversation with yourself. For a lot of people who are binging, you need to clean up the conversation you're having with you while you binge. And also looking at when you are binging, what is the conversation you're having with yourself all day, every day? A lot of people really have to clean up the self. It's the self-love piece. Because what I think is when people are eating really fast, rather than trying to come up with tactics that you can do to slow down, I want you to think about, while I'm binging, what am I thinking about me that causes me to want to eat so fast? What am I thinking about that makes me want to eat so fast? Sometimes it's also like restrictive thoughts around food. You know, most of the time when you binge, you're eating food you normally wouldn't eat. See if there's any diet mentality that you need to be cleaning up. Because if you are binging and you're eating food you normally don't eat, you will eat faster to get through them because you know you're going to take them away from yourself again. So looking for all of that language. I just started a new medication to help with issues related to menopausal mood swings. Sounds like I'm going to be on that medication if I don't make a healing relationship with my period. It has been really simple following my plan and not turning to food. Is my success due to the meds or my ability to plan and stick to it? It is never due to the meds. Let me ask you this. Is it even helpful to think that? What if you just identify, like you could set yourself up for a post-med failure by saying it must be the medication. Look, even if you said you're taking Prozac. How many of you in here are on Prozac and you're still overeating like a boss? Meds don't fix all that stuff. Now, will you feel better and like hormonally or chemically? Yeah. But you still, Gwendolyn, are making the decision when to eat. You're still making the decision to take the meds. Like, you need to just tell yourself, I'm doing this. It's me. It's my thinking. Here's things I think. Like, that's what I would do. Should all the times we list under three things you are willing to do differently next time on the discovery worksheet be at a 10 as far as all in? I don't think it always has to be at a 10. I think it's really good to list things to get come up with ideas. And if you're not a 10, I think you should ask yourself why. What is it going to take to get me to a 10 is a really good question. So if you list some stuff on there, then ask yourself, what's it going to take to get me to a 10? Like, how could I like hack this to get me to a 10 to do it? I need help with the three things I'm willing to do differently and put into action. I write what I think I should do, but I'm not doing it. Then you need to come up with three different things. How can you make them easier? Like, if I was going to put three things on here that would make me really uncomfortable because I think they're not good enough, what are those three things? and start putting those on there and start doing those. Improve yourself that they are good enough. One of the things that we will be learning inside of the self-sabotage class is the like hack of minimum baseline ways to change things. One of the reasons why we self-sabotage is because we do have a lot of shoulds going on and we don't have enough minimum baseline actions. It's easier for your brain to try something new, the easier it is to do. That's part of the brain's wiring. Your brain is wired based on the motivational triad. This is going to be in the self-sabotage course next month. And it's all about your brain is more likely to do something that's easy. Most of the time when you're putting things on there that you should be doing, you're putting things on there that aren't easy, that your brain perceives is going to be painful to do and hard. And your brain is not wired to do that stuff. Your brain is wired to be motivated to do things that are easy, that seem like they're going to feel good to do and have a good payoff. So you want to be hacking that with these actions. And what most of you do is you go about it ass backward. You're like, I'm going to put all these shoulds on there, these incredibly hard things that for some reason in my brain, I think that's what's going to work. And then your brain fights and resistance. Like, why are we doing this? This is too much. So you got to actually work with your brain. Leandra. Y'all, I am so excited for spring. I just have to tell you. It was beautiful outside today.
I know.
We're going to get the 80s this weekend. Jealous.
Hi.
Hi. Just sitting here talking about the weather.
Oh, that's okay. Oh, my gosh. So excited. Okay. I'm so excited to see your eyes because you usually have your glasses on.
I know. Okay. I keep whipping them off and taking them off this whole time.
Yeah. So the reason I'm on this is because I've been a member since June of 17. And so the first year I was able to.
OG.
I am. And I've done everything.
Yes.
Last year, I gained a lot of the weight back that I had lost. And at the time I was like, it's because I just ate through all my circumstances. And then finally I got with an accountability group, Cupcakes Connection in November. And then that kind of really brought the weight gain to a stop. And then I slowly working through all the thoughts and everything really helped me start to go back down. But it's like going back down, 0.2 at a time or a pound at a time. So I've been the last 2 months really committed to doing my discovery worksheets, March and April, because I would do all my planning. And then anytime I would overeat, I'd be not worth it. So finally I've been looking at the past month, to see what my patterns are. And the pattern that keeps on showing up is that, I'll plan a realistic day. And most of my plans are realistic. I still drink wine. I still I still eat pasta and all those things. But I think what I'm finding is at the end of the day or the end of the night, or even middle of the day is I'll eat a cracker, a piece of cheese or an extra piece of bread or something. And then I can hear in my head just be like, it's just something so small. And then the new thought is, I'll commit to the discovery worksheet and I'll figure it out. So it's almost like the question is, do you want to eat this or do you want to do the discovery worksheet? And a lot of times I'll just go ahead and do the discovery worksheet. And of course the discovery worksheet is starting to show me really what the thoughts are coming out. But I don't want to keep on having that. It's just a piece of bread. You worked out today. You got all your water. You got all your sleep.
What do you think the fix is for when you're just here? Are all the reasons why the behavior that will not get me to my goal are okay?
What do I think the thought is? Or
what do you think the solve is?
Oh, to not eat. I mean, the solve is
that's going to be the result. The not eating is going to be the action and result of your thoughts that you're going to change. All of you are okay, so the solve is not eat. Like, no. That is the result of you changing how you think.
Right. So I get like, so like one of the thoughts that I picked up this past month was something I heard you say was like, I'm really good at weight loss. I'm a slayer of weight loss. So that's helped a lot. But like sometimes in the moment I'll be like, like I'll ask the question, will this get me to the goal? And I'll still say no. And I'll be like, and eat it anyway. And so I'm just trying to like.
But you're missing the obvious point. So you have like two things you need to fix.
Okay.
Number one, you're not a slow loser.
Okay.
You keep saying like the, you know, 0.2 is only a pound. Like, no, I'm losing at the rate of the story I believe around my overeats. It's a very truthful statement.
Yeah.
You're not losing slow. It's not like when you first described it, it was like, I thought this was what's going to come out. As you're describing the slowness of your losing, it was as if, you know, I'm doing all the right things. Like if somebody's losing 0.2 and they're 100% on plan and eating like a boss and moving and exercise, I'd be like, all right, we can do some stuff. You're not a slow loser. You're burying your excuses. So if you keep telling yourself the lie that you're a slow loser, you figure out how to slow the process down by saying, it's only cheese. It's not that big a deal. We'll just do a discovery worksheet and we'll thought work ourselves out of this cheese mess we're in.
Oh my gosh.
So that's like solve one is to be really honest about your weight loss. Say, you know, I'm losing at this rate and it's probably mirroring what's truly going on. So if you're losing, and a lot of you do this, a lot of you come on and will say like, I'm going to stall. I'm plateaued. Like it's been like 4 or 5 months, Corinne, just sitting here bouncing around, same 5 pounds. And y'all talk about it like it's a scale problem. I'm like, tell me what's going on with your food. Well, you know, all my my 400 discovery worksheets and all my overeats and the times that I stopped planning tell me. And I'm like, right, so we're not on a stall or a plateau. We're on and off a lot. And so guess what the scale does? It reflects and mirrors exactly what we believe. You're stalling yourself with all these behaviors. So rather than focusing on this 4 or 5 pounds that's bouncing around, why don't we focus on why you're fucking eating? That would be an easy fix. The second problem that you're having, which I think is where we want to dive into the most, is this idea of a little bit won't hurt. This is not that bad. I'll just have this. And it's the same concept of equal airtime that I've been talking about. Like if you're doomsdaying, you got to tell the best thing that can happen. If you drive me daddy around and you bitching and moaning, you also have to tell the part where you loved it. You know, we have to give equal airtime to stuff. You need to give equal airtime to a little bit won't hurt. The new thought is this little piece of cheese is exactly why I'm losing 0.2 a week.
Okay.
Like tell yourself that in the moment and see if it's like, cause it's a lot of, for a lot of you, the theme is I'm not going to give you a thought where next week it's like, I'm just going to tell you, I had one coaching session with Corinne and I never ate another piece of cheese a day in my life again. Suddenly I'm on plan all the time. No, it's not going to happen. It's going to happen when you start telling the truth during the middle of this. So you need to allow a little won't hurt. What is it that you call it? I can just have a little or something like that.
Yeah. Like one cracker won't hurt or a little won't hurt.
So that is a thought that you need to like burn into your brain now. Like, okay, this is going to be the thought that's going to come up for probably the next 1,000 days.
Okay.
All right. And when it comes up, what I also want to think is this. So you need to like allow that old thought now to be a trigger for the new thought that you're going to insert.
Okay.
Because what your brain remembers is the whole story. Right now you're only telling this one little part and then you're like sitting around and doing a discovery worksheet, identifying the same story over and over again. Now we got to identify what we're going to do about the same story that's going to keep coming up over and over again. And you're going to think it and you're going to want to eat it. And it's all going to feel really real.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to need to also tell the other side of the story until it becomes to where it's such a habit that you also think, and you know what? If I eat this, I am trading, you know, I'm trading another 0.2. Like, do I want another 0.2 week? That's all I need to know. Like, and if it's yes in this moment, I at least was honest with myself that I'm willing to let go of my results for what I want in this moment. Like, having that conversation a lot, what happens is, I want you to just imagine yourself. Right now, it's just excuse land and feeling bad about it later.
Mm-hmm.
Now what we want to do is we want to be in the middle of it, having that conversation. How will you feel in that moment? Like when you're like, okay, I just want this cheese. Oh, cheese. And you're like smelling it. And your mouth is pouring, like it's doing all the things. And you're just sitting there going, I know if I eat this, even though I think a little won't hurt, I've got weeks and weeks of 0.2 losses that show other evidence. What do you think it feels like in that moment? And you've got the urge sitting with it.
It feels like despair. like if I decide to do it, like then I'm just.
That's a judgment on deciding to eat, which we want to clean that up. But I want you to like put yourself in the spot of here's my circumstance I have going on. I've got the cheese in my hand. It smells good. I'm ready to eat it. I'm thinking a little won't hurt. And then I think, but you know what? This week, it really means I'm only going to lose 0.2 pounds.
Oh, like if I decide to eat it, knowing the result.
Like, yeah, like the circumstance right now literally is you're holding cheese, you're taking a look at it, and you think, oh, a little won't hurt. But also, a little does hurt because I only lose 0.2 a week when I eat things like this. So in that moment, you think like, what is it that you're feeling?
Oh man. Like right now I feel conflicted.
Conflicted. Okay.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Okay.
Because before you were feeling green lighted.
Yeah.
Oh my God. We want to feel conflicted. Like all of you, when you have an urge, we want to feel conflicted, like, should we or shouldn't we? That's such a better place to be than, like, a little won't hurt. Woohoo! And then being conflicted on Friday, like, I lose so slow. It's too late. We don't want to be conflicted on Friday. We want to be conflicted on Wednesday night while we're making dinner.
It's usually Wednesdays.
Yeah. This is why, like, this is so perfect because it's like we need to be conflicted in the moment when we can have a conversation with ourselves and we can feel the discomfort of being conflicted because in that moment, I allow myself to sit there and argue for what I want and argue for my future. Because when I'm not doing that, I am only arguing for my want and be like, all right, let's just go. There's no reason not to. It's not going to hurt. We don't have a reason to think otherwise.
This makes so much sense. So thank you.
So what I want you to do is like what I did with the other person is I want you to think about this week and all the things you typically eat. Like, what are all those foods? Like, make a list of them and then write down, like, I'm going to probably think these little things, but here's the truth I want to tell myself. And I would, for all of you who have this excuse, a little won't hurt, every single week, before you start your week, do a thought download on, like, how I want to set myself up for success this week. What are all the things that I can do? What are all the little things that I can do to help me? And what are all the little things that I tell myself won't hurt, but I'm actually paying a huge price? And you tie those little things that right now feel really easy and pleasurable and good. Your brain's like, hell yeah, that's what we want. Motivational triad. You're tapping my, you're like, I'm like a slot machine and you just hit the jackpot. You want to tie those little behaviors to very painful results. You want to make it seem like this is the worst option ever, and here's why. And then you do a list of all the little things that are going to help you and why they're going to be easy and why you look forward to trying them and all this other stuff. And you create like a very motivating and enticing picture around them.
Okay.
All right.
Yep, I can do that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, I almost turned off the whole thing. Hey, Betsy, I just did a little rant where I used the word we a lot. Just a heads up to get the timestamp. I was purposely using we, Betsy. If y'all are wondering why, we need some stuff where we can't say the word you in it. I have to say we. things I do. When I make an equal exchange on my plan, should I still do a discovery worksheet? I make a note on the plan and use that to make my plans more realistic, but I don't analyze the exchange with the worksheet. I think if, like, you have to just look at it, Ashley, you have to decide, does the equal exchange, like, if, like, let's say it's an apple for an orange. No, you do not need to do a discovery worksheet. If it's an apple, like, let's say you had chips and you decided to have candy. I wouldn't call that an equal exchange. Like, well, they're both fun food, Corinne. I would just look at what it is. It's like, is this trade a long-term habit that I want to be making? If it, like, if you could see yourself in the future doing it and it is like, no, I would love to put this on repeat. This seems like something that would be very useful for my future and very useful for losing weight. No, you don't need to do one. But if it's like, this is kind of slippery slope, or like, I would really like, I would need to call an expert, like phone a friend and find out. It's probably just worth doing a discovery worksheet. I can write down goals, but can forget them by the afternoon or evening. I believe I would be considered someone with attention deficits. That's not an attention deficit thing. That's just not a trip. You're not triggering your phone to set a reminder to go off and remind you. This happens at work and at home. I want to focus better on my goals. Can you suggest anything for me to try? Yeah. Put your goals on your phone. So I don't have my phone with me. Go to the timer where you can set alarms. You can actually type in stuff on your alarms. Have your alarm go off whenever you want to remember your goals, and it has your goal clearly stated there. That's the best one because everybody's got their phone all the time. I'm struggling snacking. It usually is after dinner. Been working on this, and do not eat after dinner. Nothing after 6:30. This seems to be working, but now I seem to be snacking more in the afternoon. It seems like I've just shifted my snacking. Well, now then work on the afternoon. Whatever you did for the evening that's working, now move it to the afternoon. Whatever thought's working for you at night, now you have to apply it in the afternoon. Ask yourself, what is the thought that I have that's caught, like, that's allowing me to eat? And say, like, no, I'm going to use the one I'm using at night. Simple. You've already got success. I've noticed that when I do a discovery worksheet, I feel bad afterward about my eating, basically guilty. That's all just thoughts. Discovery worksheet is not doing that to you. I know that we are supposed to know that that thoughts are just sentences in our head, but I'd love advice on really turning those thoughts around. So you need to find your judgment thoughts. Thoughts are just sentences in your head. You've got, so you do a discovery worksheet. Now I want you to think about the model. The discovery worksheet is now a circumstance in your life, the one you just did. Here's my discovery worksheet with my overeating and everything. And I think this, which makes me feel guilty. You want to do models around. So you need a model with the discovery worksheet in the circumstance line. Figure out your thought you have about guilt. Like, I shouldn't have done that, whatever it is. Run the unintentional model, and then you need to come up with thoughts that are going to allow you to not feel guilty. You want to have thoughts that are just going to allow, like, this is just what happened. This, like, this discovery worksheet is giving me clues to my future self. You need to come up with thoughts that are going to help you so that you're not judging. Because if you're going to feel like this is what's going to happen, if you don't get those thoughts in check, you're going to, next thing you know, not do discovery worksheets to avoid feeling guilty, to avoid feeling bad. I don't want you to quit the discovery worksheet to alleviate your guilt. I want you to keep doing discovery worksheets, feeling guilty as shit, so you can identify the thoughts that you have that you don't need anymore, work on changing them so that you grow the relationship you have with yourself when you're not doing things perfectly. You say all the time that when we don't want to make ourselves do the discovery worksheet, we've got to just do it. Here's a crazy question, but how? so far I'm willing to do all the things, but this one, I do journal after. If you're journaling, it's okay. The only reason why I would do a discovery worksheet versus just journaling is the discovery worksheet does two things. It helps you remove some of the judgment that sometimes if you're journaling, you may not be able to come. You may not be able to do that on your own. The other thing the discovery worksheet does is it's got guided questions to put you into future focus action. So the discovery worksheet starts breaking it down into here's the things that happened and here are the things to set me up for future success. So it gives you some tangible action line items along with some thought perspective shifts. If you don't want to do a discovery worksheet and you're a master journaler and you can get it done that way, go for it. But for a lot of you, you need the guide of the discovery worksheet to do more than just beat yourself up in your journal, or you need the discovery worksheet so that you're not missing out on how to future plan and how to think about going forward and stuff. Some people need that guide and pull. And the way you make yourself do a discovery worksheet is cleaning up your thoughts around it. You probably have some thoughts like, well, I don't need that, or it's hard, I don't like it. Like, give yourself very beneficial thoughts around the discovery worksheet and you'll do it. If you're getting traction with the journaling, I wouldn't worry about it. But if you're noticing you're journaling and you're not solving your discovery worksheets, a thought might be, I'm a great journaler, but when it comes to my overeats, I might need some help. Is secret eating common? I would say going to a party, eating a little, wait for a long time to really eat till plus four before bedtime. It's very common. A lot of people have some shame around overeating. I would say a lot of people here do secret eating. I will say I never was a secret eater. I don't know how. I don't know if it's probably because my whole family, we all overeat together. So it never seemed like a problem in our family. In our problem, it was a hobby. I mean, eating was just a hobby. It was hobby. It was fun. It's how we connected. Like, we had this big story around it. You didn't need to eat in secret. If you were overeating, you probably had a joiner with you. So, but in some families, as you're growing up and stuff, there's like some shame involved in it. Or maybe you had parents say, you know, like, haven't you had enough? Or, you know, I think you're eating too much or something. So it's very normal to be a secret eater. Just know that if you are overeating in secret, it's usually because you have some like worries about what other people would think of you eating, and that's where it's driving from. Where do I look for an answer to my questions on this platform? So do you mean, I don't know where your questions are being asked though. Laura, can you tell me where you're asking your questions? If you're asking and ask coaches, then once you ask and ask coaches, you have to log back into the website 24 to 48 hours later, look for your subject. You go to recent answers and you just look for your subject and you will find your answer. That's where they answer you back. If you're asking in Facebook, it's just you'll get replies to your post in Facebook from our community. Sometimes our coaches and stuff answer in there too, but our coaches primarily answer questions and ask coaches. The community and the community team, like Mary Jo and Heidi and Betsy, I pop in over to Facebook a lot. That's where a lot of the answers are. So it just depends on where you're asking. I've been eating dinner sometimes to a plus three. Is that an overeat? Yes. So if you're eating to a plus three, that's considered an overeat. We want to be eating to a plus two. What are some reasons to keep going no matter what? I feel like I've used all of them up and need something more compelling. Well, why do you want to keep going is the real question. Like, why is it worth it to you? Like, spend some time and think about when I lose my weight, here's the life that's waiting on me. I would never have to think this again. I would never have to feel this way again. I would never like think about all of that stuff and then think, and here are the things I can't wait to be able to do. Here are the things that I can't wait to be able to experience. Here are the things I keep putting off because of my weight. I would be doing these things. Like, think about all of that. And now you have a whole fresh batch of the reasons why you want to lose weight. Struggling with depression, being home alone all day. I just lay around letting my mind tell me what a piece of shit I am. Okay. Then you need to be doing thought downloads and not laying around. Like, don't just tell me, like, I've been sitting around, laying around, letting my brain tell me I'm a piece of shit. Okay, you now notice, so now you got to do something about it. You got to make a decision. Is that helpful? Is that what I really want to be doing? I know that I'm depressed, but is that what I really want to be doing? And don't start with journaling all day. Don't start with the world's most deep problems. Start with something like, today I'd like to feel. What can I do today that gets me into some action? What's one small thing I can be doing today? If you're laying around, like, especially, guys, ain't nobody, there's hardly anybody in this group who has more experience with depression and suicide than me. Between my own depression and suicide, my daddy's depression and 3 suicide attempts, and all my other family members that have been jacked up in the brain about this shit all their lives, I get it. But you have to make a decision at some point to pull yourself out 1 inch at a time. The thing about depression is we will like tell ourselves over and over again, like, you know, you just can't get out of it. You're in too deep and all this other stuff. And you have to like have another conversation with yourself. Like, there is no being in it deep. Today, I just feel. Like, you have to start neutralizing a lot of the conversation. Notice when you're catastrophizing. Like, every day I feel terrible. Rather than just saying that, say like, today I feel bad. That's being honest. I don't know what I'll feel tomorrow is a much better conversation. You have to start looking for all the little ways that you can clean up, but get you some audibles. If you're laying around, slap in some earbuds. Put like, if your brain is just telling you you're a piece of shit all day, then listen to somebody else who's not saying that. Give some airplay to some other shit. Corinne, it's on here. I asked her on this question on this Zoom. It's above here. All right, I just answered it. I probably just didn't call out your name. I don't see. Laura, I already answered your question, Laura. Sorry. Okay. So with these hot flashes, I'm waking up. Then at 1 a.m., I am damn hungry, like stomach growling hunger. Last night, I had a half a banana and a small scoop of almond butter at 2 a.m. The scale was still making progress this morning, but my brain goes back to my nighttime snacking patterns. I did have a big day with working out and eating clean. Okay. Then watch the scale and see if that's happen, if that's going to happen. But here's what I would do. I would tell myself, sometimes I'm going to wake up hungry and I'm just not going to eat. Sometimes I'm going to wake up hungry and I am going to eat, and this is what I get to have. If you're going to eat in the middle of the night at 1 a.m., number one, just remind yourself you're going to set yourself up for having to digest food and compromise sleep. I wear an Oura ring when I sleep, and I will promise all of you, if you put food in your belly in the middle of the night or right before bed, your resting heart rate is going to stay about 10 beats higher per minute than it normally does for about 3 hours. That is enough to compromise deep sleep. So if you're already having the hot flashes, I don't know if you want to like, you know, to be eating. So I would find something, Gwendolyn, that's boring. Almond butter and a half a banana is probably a little too exciting for the middle of the night. I'd probably get me some baby carrots and a little ranch dressing and say like, all right, we wake up in the middle of the night. It's baby carrots and ranch dressing. That's what we get. We don't get something that tastes really good. We get something that's very boring. Because if you're actually really hungry, that's what you'll eat. Otherwise, you'll want the other, and you need to work through just wanting food in the middle of the night. So if you did, like, and if you were just legit hungry, then just have like legit food. Okay, last question. I'm learning about hunger signals. Oh, I've already done this. Oh, wait a minute. All right. I'm learning about hunger signals. I've heard Corinne speak of setting a timer to check to see if 15 minutes you still have what you think is hunger. If so, it probably is. She also says to drink water and see if you still have hunger when you may have just been thirsty. But really, what I am asking is, she also said, or use the clock. In what way do you use the clock? Does she mean you could just eat every 4 hours between a meal? I ask because it's usually about 4 hours and my hunger signals rise. Would it be okay to use them both? Hunger signals every 4 hours method, or should I throw the clock out? Throw it all away, Laura. Here's the easy way to do it. If I'm hungry, I eat. If I'm not hungry, I don't. Period. If you get hungry, you can try drinking some water to see if you're, when we talk about the clock, we're talking about a challenge called on the clock to make sure we're not thirsty. And the on the clock challenge is a hack for us to do 1 week where we're not eating by the clock. We're using the clock as a method of dialing in, are we thirsty and is our hunger true hunger? So the on the clock means the I get hungry, I set a timer for 15 minutes or an hour, however long I want to do it. I drink some water, and at the end of the time, if I'm still hungry, I eat. If I'm not, I was probably thirsty and not getting enough water. And then I just eat when I get hungry again. That's it. We're just using that what you're talking about is a challenge we're doing this week to make ourselves notice our hunger signals. I don't know. I think that was last week, but that's not something you do all the time. That's something we did in one newsletter so that we could really identify, are we actually hungry or are we thirsty? Because we have a lot of people who are actually thirsty and they're not hungry because they're not drinking enough water. And so when we do that, what happens is they end up like, oh, now that I'm drinking more water, hail. I just noticed I cut half my carb cravings out. Now I just noticed that I'm not wanting cookies all the time because my body, like, this is what happens with a lot of cookies and carb cravings. Guys, and y'all know I love carbs. I ate my cereal this morning. But what happens is a lot of you guys actually want to eat like sugary foods and stuff because you're thirsty. And when you're thirsty, your body will crave carbs first, because it's going to give sugar and an immediate boost of energy that water would have done it. Because your body slows down dramatically at the little signs of dehydration. It just starts cutting shit back. So you want to make sure that you're not thirsty. So I think that's what you're talking about, Laura. I think that's where you got confused. That's just a challenge that we do. We usually do that challenge about once every 2 to 3 months, where we have everybody go on the clock for the week. And you just simply, I get hungry, drink some water, wait 15 minutes. If I'm still hungry, I'll eat. If I'm not hungry, then I'll just wait until the next time I'm hungry. And that's it. All right, guys, that's it. Y'all have a good one. When do I see you again? Well, I'll see y'all tomorrow morning for All in April, because I'll do a Facebook Live tomorrow. And then I have the public live on Wednesday at 8:30. That's on my public Facebook page. They get one thing a week. They get that 1 hour a week with me. And then we will be doing managing your time and your life. So if you have time management, I'm busy, that kind of shit going on, I'm doing that coaching call on Thursday at 5. And I also will have coffee and walking. So I'm either drinking coffee or I'm walking with you guys on Saturday mornings now at 9 a.m. where you can still ask your questions and stuff, but it's going to be a little bit more casual so that I can either take y'all for walks or I can like sit outside and have coffee with you guys and just kind of enjoy spending a good hour with you. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.